This is Tuesday, December 15th, 2015. I enrage against the normal mode raid machine. A certain grand old podcast is not the only show making a return to your ears, and I visit with the entire crew of the Overwatch Initiative. This is episode 173.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bastions and Tornbjorns, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Ro, thanks as always for listening, and welcome to what is the last normal episode of the year. It's the holidays, everyone's time can be a bit more limited than usual with everything that happens around them, and I'm sure you're going to find a number of podcasts just take a week or two off, you know? But that's not going to entirely be the case here. Next week, I actually have a special holiday surprise for all of you, and I'm not going to say exactly what it is just yet, so just be sure not to miss it next Tuesday. The Tuesday after that, of course, is the yearly maintenance special, which will focus on a number of my favorite podcasts for Blizzard games and a few of yours as well. After that, I might be taking the first week off in January, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Right now, let's get the show rolling with some pretty normal raid talk. Here is the rolling restart. So if you've been listening to World of Warcraft podcasts recently, you've likely heard one show or another mention an article posted on Blizzard Watch from via Ask Mr. Robot, which is talking about cookie-cutter builds and player customization. It's a great read, and I really encourage you all to check it out. It even got Celestalon's attention, which led to him asking the player base on Twitter for suggestions on what Blizzard can do to help keep people from feeling forced into using cookie-cutter builds. So, Celestalon, if you happen to be listening, and I really doubt it, but if you are, consider this my own two cents. Now, I'm going to be speaking not just from a DPS standpoint here, but as a normal mode raider, and I realize that I'm only one section of the player base here. I don't consider myself qualified to really answer questions from a heroic or mythic point of view. That said, as big a part as raiding is in the game, I think we need to remember that for a large number of players, raid content is consumed at the lower levels of difficulty. You have LFR and normal. There's plenty of people, of course, who move on to heroic, and those who really want a challenge on the bleeding edge eventually take on mythic difficulty. Now, having been around since Karazhan and Burning Crusade, I think I can safely say that back then, the complexity of raid encounters was nothing like it is today. Examples I can give, Moroz, Maiden, Nether Spite. Compare those encounters to the kind of stuff that we've done just in Warlords of Draenor alone, and it's just a far simpler time of raiding back then. Nowadays, there's far more stuff to be aware of, even on a normal mode encounter. Just take one look at normal mode Gorfiend. On top of these mechanics, there's also an expectation to do a certain amount of raid damage over time to beat that enrage timer that most encounters have, and, well, here's where I get to answering your question, Celestalon. If you want to stop cookie-cutter builds for DPS and for normal mode raiding, I say get rid of enrage timers entirely. Now, when I say that, I don't mean get rid of them for heroic or mythic. I do think that heroic and mythic difficulty should have an expectation of being able to follow mechanics and execute your DPS rotation and priorities in a timely manner. Now, of course, you might remember Blizzard recently nerfed some mechanics in normal Hellfire Citadel to enable better progression for some groups, including my own, thank you very much, and it was also put there to kind of distinguish itself from heroic and mythic difficulties, and I imagine this is the plan going into Legion as well. I totally applaud the dev team for doing that. If you remove enrage mechanics from normal mode altogether, a couple things happen. First off, people on a raid team can die if it happens, and it could still be possible to win the fight. There's still a penalty for death, and that would basically be that the fight takes longer to complete. Now, more time spent on the fight, of course, is going to mean less time spent on other ones, but the group has the opportunity to become more efficient on that fight over time. And for groups like mine, who only raid 4 hours a week, I think that would be pretty awesome. Second, the lack of an enrage timer, if you went that way, would mean that DPS on normal difficulty and lower, well, those DPS checks become less relevant. Executing your rotation perfectly becomes less of a big deal. Mechanics on normal mode should be something that is a challenge to a degree, but not from a DPS standpoint. I'm not saying that normal mode should be a cakewalk like Raid Finder. I still want those complex mechanics. I'm fine with there being mechanics that just are outright lethal if they're not followed. If you stand in the poop, you should die. I feel like in this day and age, if you can learn how to just do the dance on normal, it shouldn't be as big a deal how fast you execute your DPS. And if that DPS factor becomes less relevant in normal mode raiding, what you're doing there is you're potentially opening up choices and options for raiders in normal mode, and, well, I guess Raid Finder also. It then gets to a point where you're able to choose talents that aren't necessarily what everyone chooses to do the best DPS. It's more of a playstyle preference. Already looking at Legion talents in their current state, I think that talents in Legion are kind of going more toward that playstyle preference and less about the DPS, but removing enrage timers would reinforce that kind of choice even more. You'd be able to play how you want to play, regardless of whether one talent is supposedly a 5% better DPS increase than another. This is also a huge deal when it comes to playing a rogue, warlock, mage, or hunter, all those pure DPS classes, where you're not just pressured to run a specific talent build, but in some cases, you're being asked to choose an entire spec over another one for the DPS it brings. I know plenty of people who prefer to play fire over frost because they want to play a fire mage, not a frost mage. I can speak as a warlock. I prefer destruction. I'm not a fan of affliction. At all. Seriously. I hate affliction. It's terrible. just because it's not how I like to play a warlock. So, pure DPSs should not feel like that they have to make this choice over one spec or another, especially where in Legion, we're going to have these artifacts that are fixed on certain specs. And if we get into a situation where a pure DPS class has to choose one spec over another, you're then going to be punished if you decided to improve one artifact over another. Not to mention, let's say that the best DPS spec changes for a pure DPS class halfway into the expansion. Yes, there might be catch-up mechanics for that second artifact, but it's still going to annoy people who feel like they have to switch because it's the best DPS. Now, removing enrage mechanics from normal mode isn't the perfect answer. I totally get that. I've spoken to a couple of tanks, and I know that removing enrage wouldn't necessarily make them feel like they have more freedom of talents because some choices just protect a tank better than others. And warriors, I think, are really kind of fixed on a very specific set of talents. I'm sure it's not all as cut and dry for healers either. So removing enrage is just one suggestion, and it's not the entire solution. I just think it's something to consider in terms of giving each level of raid difficulty also its own identity. You have tourist mode for Raid Finder. In normal, you have mechanics that really need to be followed and executed, do the dance properly, even mechanics that are potentially fatal, but don't have that enrage timer on top of that. Then, once you move on to heroic, introduce the enrage mechanic. Perhaps add one additional element that changes up the strategy required to beat the encounter. And of course, mythic for that 1% of the 1%, stricter enrage, even more mechanics, throw the kitchen sink at him, sky's the limit. So, I think my two cents ended up sounding like 20, so I'm going to stop here. I'd love to get your feedback and thoughts about the issue, especially if you feel like you're being forced to use cookie-cutter builds, or even specs as far as pure DPS goes. How would you solve the issue? Is removing enrage mechanics in normal modes a plausible idea? What kind of ideas do you have? Go ahead and tweet those to @RealmPodcast or email realmpodcast@gmail.com. Right now, let's move on and quickly cover the past week of Blizzard news as we go around the world of Warcraft and more in 80 seconds. Hey, WoW podcasters, it's time to stock up on giveaway items. Even if you're not a podcaster, it's the perfect time to add some vanity items to your account, as most pets and mounts on the Blizzard store are on sale at 50% of their normal price. These prices will continue through January 4th. Don't forget that Wintervale in World of Warcraft includes new daily quests, garrison decorations, a grumpling pet, a minion of Grumpus epic mount, toys, and much more. I suggest checking the Wintervale guide on WoWhead for complete details. Meanwhile, the 50% off sale for hero skins and mounts in Heroes of the Storm has been extended through the end of the year, with Great Father Winter Stitches and Sugar Plum Sylvanas joining Jaina and Rhaegar in festive Wintervale attire. All players in the Nexus will have access to a Wintervale Treasure Goblin mount during Wintervale, with special event quests awarding up to 2 weeks of Stimpak bonuses if you play 50 games of Heroes. A new Recruit a Friend program awarding an exclusive StarCraft Vulture mount is also underway, and you can learn complete details about that on the official Heroes of the Storm website. And finally, the Warcraft devs account on Twitter confirmed that the current plan is to only allow characters to unlock transmog items in the wardrobe UI for items they can actually equip. As a recent Blizzard Watch article pointed out, this would mean that Outlaw Rogues won't have access to pirate hats unless a new cosmetic item is added. And that's your news. I'll be back with the host of the Overwatch Initiative after the overly dramatic news with Hunts the Wind.
Real-world in-game political parallels raise uncomfortable questions. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. Sometimes art imitates life, sometimes life imitates art, and sometimes the resemblance is a little too close for comfort. Blizzard discovered this recently when people began noticing similarities between the political philosophies of Donald Trump and Garrosh Hellscream. The company was quick to deny any connection. A PR representative told ODN, quote, "When we came up with the Garrosh character, Donald Trump was just a blowhard reality TV personality outliving his 15 minutes of fame. How were we to know that he was going to become a racist demagogue with delusions of grandeur just like Hellscream? If anything, back then we modeled Trade Prince Gallywix after the guy." Since they were on the topic of separated at birth pairings, our reporter then asked about the eerie similarities between Gul'dan and former Vice President Dick Cheney. The rep suddenly became quite uncomfortable, stammering and visibly sweating. When asked what was troubling him, he said, nothing. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
The Overwatch Initiative was one of the first few podcasts to cover Blizzard's developing first-person shooter. This bi-weekly show has been around since January, which is, well, before anyone was seriously raging over not being in the beta. The first phase of the beta came to an end just a few days ago, and I figured, since it opened with an Overwatch spotlight on this show, why not close with one? So, with me right now is the entire Overwatch Initiative crew. They are JB, Jazzy, Martz, and Greats. How y'all doing?
We tried to convince Martz not to come, but he wouldn't, stay out, stay away.
Dude, I bailed out of work early, dude.
We tried to do that every
I know, we tried to make you stay.
It's true, yeah. Thanks for having us, man. This is fun.
This is awesome, man.
Hey, thank you for being on. I really appreciate it. And JB, if you could just kind of start with a little bit about the origin of the podcast, because like I said, you guys were one of the first ones out there recording as early as January when all we really had were hopes and dreams from BlizzCon.
Yeah, pretty much. So here's long story short. I always wanted to do a Blizzard show. I've done a show for WildStar, show for Star Wars Old Republic, and I've never been able to do a show for the Blizzard community. And that to me was something that I really need to get my hands on. I miss it on Hearthstone. And I told myself a week before BlizzCon, I don't care what it is they announce next. It could be Hello Little Orc Pony. I am going to do a show on Little Orc Pony. So little did I know that for the first time in 17, 18 years, they were going to announce a brand new IP, which worked out great for us. So as soon as they dropped the IP, texts were sent out, and the three other goons that I have here with me are the ones who responded first, and that was quite literally how the show was formed. And then we sat on it for about 2 months and just waited and waited and waited, and finally we couldn't take it anymore, so we just got everything going.
So, JB, just really quick here, you've basically been a Blizzard fan more so than you would say you were a first-person shooter fan. I'm just wondering, what was more of a love for you, your love for Blizzard or your love for first-person shooter games?
I think it's both. First-person shooter starts with me with Medal of Honor way back in the day, the early Call of Duties, Halo especially, that when it first came out, I think it was 2001. And then it was just the intriguing idea of doing a Blizzard show, because the community for Blizzard seems so unique and so inviting. And they've treated us that way too. When we when we've launched the show and we've we're now going to be 26 episodes in. It's just, it's so nice to meet everybody. And the thing that's blown me away the most is the cosplay and the fan art from Blizzard fans are by far the best that I've ever seen. And so it's just, it's an honor. It really is. And it's something I'm really, really proud of, to be able to be doing a show for such an awesome community.
And that's really awesome to have that kind of perspective. I think that's cool. I'd like to go around the table here, as it were, just to get a little background on the rest of the crew here. Jazzy, I'm wondering, what is your background as far as like playing both Blizzard games and FPS games, as far as your experience and history with them?
Well, Blizzard games have definitely been more so my thing. I've been playing WoW for 8 years, I think. 8 or 9 years. Oh, that's a long time. I play pretty much every other one to varying degrees. Hearthstone, Diablo, probably the most, the other two. But never really been huge into first-person shooters. I'm definitely our more casual player, if we had one. I played, like, Halo 1, and that was pretty much my experience in first-person shooters. Never really did Call of Duty or anything like that, but what really kind of drove me to Overwatch was that Blizzard flavor on top of the FPS, that they kind of allowed me to be a casual player and enjoy that FPS with the Blizzard flavor on it. So
that's cool, and I can definitely relate with that, and we'll touch on that a little more in just a second here. How about you, Martz? What's your background as far as those games go?
Well, my background of first-person shooters go back to probably the early 2000s. Maybe when the GameCube launched. I played a lot of Turok Evolution, and then Medal of Honor Frontline on the PS2. You know, mainly it was Turok Evolution. Our whole family played that. We used to play with five people, and, you know, the loser would switch. And it was just a really fun time. And got into Call of Duty a little bit on the 360. I mean, that's really it in terms of first-person shooters. I was good at them when I was playing back then, but RPGs and MMOs really turned into my main game back in around 2005, kind of when Blizzard launched WoW. So I've been playing MMOs though for a really long time. It really just didn't start with WoW, but I remember when I first played WoW, I didn't like it because it wasn't like you actually had to do quests. It wasn't really. I guess it was grindy, but like, I was just playing Star Wars Galaxies, where they're really, you know, you had to grind 10 levels before you completed a quest.
Yep.
So, you know, I originally didn't like it, but then once BC hit, you know, I loved it. So I've really been playing it since launch. So, you know, that that's really all I played with Blizzard, really, until recently with Hearthstone.
Yeah, Hearthstone definitely grabbed a lot of people. I'm playing more Hearthstone than I'm playing WoW of late, really. How about you, Greats? What's your background on those games?
Oh my God, my background, if you want to try to define first-person shooters, dates back to Wizard way back in the DOS days. if we want to go up from there, though, I actually started with Doom and probably a spell magic game before that for Windows 3.1 or something.
Okay, you probably have the best chance to answer this question. Did you play GoldenEye?
Yes.
Okay. Easy. I feel like I'm not the only oldest person in the room here, then.
No, man. GoldenEye's the stuff.
He's probably done it, too.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's
GoldenEye is basically my first-person shooter experience. That and Skyrim, I guess, if you call shooting arrows in Skyrim FPS. Fallout, though, has become my jam.
Nothing wrong with that, man. That's a good game.
So it kind of feels like all of you, for the most part, are around kind of the same kind of devotion and intensity into not just Blizzard games, but first-person shooter games, with a little variation between all of you. And, you know, I kind of think that that speaks very much to Overwatch being a Blizzard game, being easy to learn, difficult to master, as you often hear that mantra said about any of their games. So I would imagine, JB, and correct me if I'm wrong, but would you say that the Overwatch initiative is tailored to a more casual player base, or do you aim to have the podcast go for high-end play as well?
It's the best way I can describe it would probably be the way Blizzard does their games. It's, we want to take it to the level where we can, if you really want to learn heroes and learn a lot of fun tips and tricks and how to maximize your gameplay, that'll be there. But at the same time, yeah, man, we're casual. We're covering everything about the game. It's definitely not for hardcore competitive only. If you're looking at that with toy, you're looking at the wrong show. We're all about just being entertaining, having a good time.
If you're coming here looking for, oh, what's the best way to min-max this character and use its abilities and top-tier pro play, you know, who took this week's competition?
How fast can I get Torbjorn's turret to level 3?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Yeah, I'm MLG Pro.
We're not running stopwatches here, that's for sure.
Well, no, our play may be really good on one-on-ones with each other, but, well, except for Mars. But other than that, we're pretty much a casual hardcore show, I guess would be the easiest way to describe it.
Yeah, we just want to give you guys an entertaining show and just cover the game for you.
Fair enough. One thing I have noticed from listening to a few episodes of your podcast is that there's definitely a decent amount of production value put in as far as sound effects, bumpers, and all of that goes. And I was wondering, Greats, if you could kind of run listeners through the format of a typical episode.
I do all the work, and JB just kind of sits back and relaxes.
Confirmed. Seconded.
See? Oh, absolutely. Man. I mean, we're lucky when JB even remembers we're a podcast. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah.
No, these are my co-hosts, bro. This is what I have to deal with on a regular basis.
No, what happens, JB does a lot of work looking for stuff on the forums and just in general websites. We add to it a little bit on our show notes, kind of using just a document share between all of us. And day of the show, we meet up. I put it up for streaming on our live stream, and we do the raw format live stream for our viewers who get to join in our episodes, have a little bit of fun with us. And it all comes together. JB actually sits down and puts it together after about 3 or 4 hours. He does all the work. If you want to look at who puts the most effort into the podcast, I would say it's JB.
I would definitely understand that. And having done a little bit of research on you, JB, I know that you have a fair bit of podcasting background. You have a couple other shows that you're behind as well. Just out of curiosity, being the forerunner of the show, what would you say has been the biggest challenge with producing a podcast like the Overwatch Initiative, considering you're covering a game that's still in beta?
You know, probably... because with every show, it's different. Like MMO communities as opposed to FPS communities, the line is so different in as far as the audience, how they respond to a show. And really, that's been the hardest part as far as a learning curve for me is because I do a PC gaming morning show. I've done MMOs. And now this is my first time doing an FPS show. And I think just learning how to adjust, learning how to make a show the best it can be for the FPS player. And that's total new ground for me. And so that was the biggest challenge. And on top of that was learning the community of Blizzard. And that's probably been one of the most rewarding endeavors. But, you know, it's just getting an understanding of how the FPS listener wants a show. And on top of that, how do I get acquainted with the Blizzard community the best way possible as well?
Sounds good. Well, I was thinking we could spend a couple minutes talking a little bit about the beta. And like I said, as people are listening to this, the first beta phase of Overwatch has come to an end. So now everyone can complain about not being able to play Overwatch at the same time.
It's true.
One of the little people again.
Absolutely. At least
well, we only do this to get in the beta, just so you know.
That's right.
All about the keys, right? Yeah.
At least Reddit says so.
Our listeners will get that one.
Well, I was wondering, let's start with Jazzy here. I was wondering what your impressions have been so far of the first beta phase of Overwatch. Do you feel this is already a game worth paying $60 for? And just how do you feel about the state of the game?
I think the game itself is a lot of fun. I've enjoyed it more than I actually thought I would. I was a little worried when we started playing that I wouldn't. As far as the price point, I kind of actually considered that a little further, and I don't think right now it is. I know it's early beta, and they've data mined some things that still need to be added. So I'm kind of at like a standoff point here, like a wait and see to see like what they put in to make it worth that $40. But I love the game. I have fun playing it. So.
Yeah, it's interesting because I do know, and it's like a little behind the scenes going on in the interview right now. It's like Greats is saying it's $40, and I know it's $40 for the regular PC version, but I think the console versions are going to be Origins Edition only or Collector's Edition, which means that you'll have to pay at least $60 if you want it on the console.
That's, PC Master Race. See, there's the explanation.
I was going to say, should I like forewarn that? I'm definitely a PC Master Race person.
I think
that's why I had to check my notes on that.
It's all right. I think that you tend to find that a lot of podcasters and podcast listeners tend to lean more toward PC gaming anyhow, more often than not. Even the ones who are doing podcasts on specifically console shows.
Right.
So how about you, Mart? So where have been your general impressions of Overwatch?
I'm surprised this game hasn't released already. I mean, it's very polished. I mean, it doesn't seem like a beta. And
that's kind of typical Blizzard style, though, for their betas, right?
Well, it is. And I'm surprised how long this has been, you know, going, too. You know what I mean? Like, how long has it been in this build? You know? They've been working on it since, they said that they, what was it? They,
Scrap Titan?
Yeah. Scrap Titan. You know, so how long have they been working on this? Because it seems like it's ready to launch right now, you know?
Probably has a good 2 or 3 years invested in it to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just as far as even art assets, story development, world setting and stuff like that, that's been going on since Project Titan, one would imagine. And then game mechanics themselves have probably been going on for a fairly decent while. So, Greats, what is your general impression of Overwatch so far? Do you think that the game is pretty much ready to go, or is there a lot of work still to be done before it releases in supposedly spring?
Well, I think there's a little bit of work to be done on balancing and character mechanics a little bit, but overall, I mean, like, the levels we saw designed in the game, for the most part, everything feels balanced. A few of the points feel like they need to be tweaked just a little bit, but I mean, for a game, I'm surprised this kind of thing hasn't launched. It has that very polished Blizzard face to it, and it can only get better, too, which is the amazing part of it.
What do you think, JB? Do you think we're going to see an early spring or a late spring launch for Overwatch?
I think early spring. I think the spring that you're seeing that's the latest that it will. I mean, as far as when they say spring, I mean, they're talking, what's the last day of spring? Is it May? I don't
technically
know.
Technically, it would be like June 19th, I think,
June
19th. Or June 20th.
I think we'll see a probably a May launch. So I guess it's not really early, but you never know. It could be wrong. I could be wrong. I mean, the game, like they've all said, it's exceptionally polished. The hero balancing is right on. If you're coming from a MOBA scene, you know, when you're stepping foot into these heroes, they feel right. There's very little tweaking that needs to be done to these heroes. Now, do their kits need tweaked a little bit? Maybe like Torbjorn and Bastion? Yes. But overall, I mean, it's really, really in a great spot.
Sounds good. I was able to play during the beta test weekend, and I had no life for about a good 48-hour period there.
It's amazing how it takes all your time.
I think we'll probably get one more beta test weekend for sure, but I just get a feeling like those beta test weekends, there aren't going to be too many of them. I think this game is closer to release than a lot of people realize. Now, as far as your show goes, your show's called The Overwatch Initiative. I try to think of a cheesy question to ask that somehow uses the name. So my question then, we'll start with Martz here, is this. If you were on the development team during this period of time, between the time that the first beta phase is over and the second one begins, if you were on the dev team, what would you do to take initiative to implement changes or additions into Overwatch before it's launched?
Oh my gosh.
That's a hard question. Why would you put that one on me?
Of all the people
you, Mart.
Just like JB does in our podcast. He just sticks
I'm
to
not jealous
question.
Of that question.
You've got one job, Mart. One job.
One job.
Do you know what? I think it just needs more lore, to be honest with you. I would love and maybe it's coming out in, you know, like graphic novels and a lot of website stuff, a lot of the social media stuff they're doing. You know, I think they could just do a better job of lore in the game. So,
right.
You know, if that could be incorporated a little bit more, I'd love that because I love Chris Metz and I love the stuff he writes. You know what I mean? A lot of stuff is from his ideas.
Someone make a recommendation that each hero should have an individual tutorial that might also give a little lore background on their character. Would you want something like that?
Ooh,
that'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, that would be legit. That'd be really good, actually. And just to get not only just lore, but to get to use to their abilities too. Just like cycle through, kind of like how they had with 76 with the you know, his tutorial. You know what I mean? But with everyone else too. You know, I think that would be really great.
Right. How about you, Jazzy? Same question. You all get to answer it.
I think it would be what I said earlier, kind of what my problem is with the price point. I feel like there needs to just be a little bit more meat to it, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, we already know that they're going to put in like a character progression system, basically, and tags and things like that. I just feel like there needs to be something else, like some other big feature, not just like little cosmetic, essentially, features.
Well, you know, that's funny because it actually kind of brings up another question I had down in my notes here. I might as well just direct it to you really quick. One thing I've noticed with Overwatch is that for the maps, you generally have either payload matches, capture point matches, or some maps which are actually a hybrid of the two. Do you feel then that there needs to be some additional game modes or map objective elements for Overwatch? Does it feel like the play is just kind of the same over and over?
Yeah, and I mean, we've talked about that on our show, too. Like, I'd love to have a capture the flag. I know, obviously, there'd be difficulties with that. But we've also talked about, and I think even the devs for Overwatch have talked about, maps with special rule sets. So that could mean, you know, certain abilities don't work, certain characters don't play there. I mean, just something that would be interesting and new outside of those maps would, yeah, absolutely, that would make me pay $40, for sure.
How about you, Greats?
I definitely think the map rotation would be a good substance to add to the game. My other thing to add to the game would be probably a little bit of a open beta to make everyone happy.
There you go.
You know,
a super stress test.
Yeah, because here's the problem Blizzard always has with all of their launches. I have never once seen them be able to do it because they are so popular. It's not their fault. It's really not. As a network engineer myself in my background, being able to build enough servers to stress test your bandwidth and to all of a sudden simulate, you know, 5 million people hitting your server on like all within the same hour, almost impossible to do. But an open beta would definitely help do that and just, you know, open it up for, here you go, guys, 24 hours. We'll give you 12 hours to download the game in front of it. Everybody have at it. And
so I agree with you kind of, and I don't simply because of the pay model of the game. I think that if they were going to do something like that, the best way to do it would be to allow pre-orders, anyone who pre-orders, to have like a beta test weekend. Because if you have a full open beta weekend, then even people who haven't bought the game, you may get an actually a much higher capacity of people playing than you expect people to actually, you know, front up $60.
Well, the different, I mean, there's two ways to go about it. Because pre-orders, you can just cancel your pre-order. True. So it doesn't really help too much, but I mean, what's going to happen is they're going to run into the issue they had with Diablo 3 and what they have happened with pretty much every WoW expansion is all of a sudden their servers are going to be flooded and no one's going to be able to log in. You're going to get error 37. It's Diablo 3 error.
Is that Soldier 76's brother, Soldier 37?
It could be. Back when I was doing the the Inferno.
Oh my gosh, that brings us back.
There you go. Back when I was doing the Inferno, we had that a little bit of fun with that one. But, I can definitely see a lot of those errors and a lot of people being very unhappy. All the rage on the forums, you know how that goes. I paid $40 or $60 for this game and I can't even play and I want money back, kind of thing.
And JB, wrap up with you. What do you want to see in the game, ideally, before it launches?
Oh, before it launches. Definitely need to see progression mechanics brought into the game. They need to be tested, and I know Blizzard knows that, but because right now, I mean, oh my gosh, I play way too much Overwatch. That's my problem. And you know, you play all the time, you're doing all the stuff with the heroes, but at the end of the day, it's going to be amazing what progression does for this game, because right now, I mean, it keeps me coming back to the game all the time. I mean, every day I'm playing it. And so just the fact of being able to see those mechanics, those progression mechanics, you know, unlocking skins, whatever it is that they plan to do, that's going to add more depth to the game than I think a lot of people realize.
I totally agree. I think they could borrow a page from their free-to-play Heroes of the Storm. That progression, just leveling characters from level 1 to level 10, it can get you. I should know. I've got Jaina the level 10 just because I wanted that master skin. Well, we're kind of coming up on the end of the interview here, so I want to ask one more question before we wrap up, though, really quick, because there are plenty of people who haven't played the beta yet and are dying to get into it, and it's going to be a few weeks' wait before we find out who is new to the beta, whether it's in a beta test weekend or otherwise. I wanted to ask each of you what advice you would give to someone playing Overwatch on the beta for the very first time, should they be fortunate enough to get in open beta, stress test weekend, or otherwise. Jazzy, how about you?
First of all, definitely play the tutorial. I tried to go into a match right away and got my face kicked in. So play the tutorial the first time you play. I would say also it might be better for your first character to either play as like a healing support or a ranged character, simply because you can stand back a little bit and kind of look at what's going on, kind of get a feel for things.
So that was all about Mercy when I first played. I totally agree.
Oh, yeah.
Mercy.
How about you, JB?
Oh, let's see. What would I do? I remember when I first entered the game, it felt very chaotic because you have a severe lack of understanding of what the other heroes can do. So I would recommend for yourself, play five games with one hero, or not five games, but just two solid games of one hero only. Learn that hero. Stay with that hero, because what's going to happen is not only are you actually grasping a hero, you're also grasping the game mechanics, and as well, you're starting to pick up on other heroes. So just stay with one, chill, do whatever you got to do, learn the game, and just have fun, man.
Martz, how about you?
If you're playing with a JB, play with, and he's playing Lucio, play anybody. That's my advice. my suggestion would be start with 76, and that this is coming from me personally. Start with 76. Okay, he's just he does a little bit of heals, a little bit of DPS. He got the sprint ability. No, use him. Start out. Okay, roll two. Look up in the sky. Make sure no one's, you know, Pharaoh. I remember when the beta first launched, Pharaoh was one of the highest DPS characters, and then
justice always reigns from above.
Yes, and nobody was looking up. people have learned now, but just remember to look up in the sky, because there are vertical challenges in this game when it comes to fighting.
They need to learn to be a citizen of Dalaran, and if you've played World of Warcraft, you get that joke.
Citizens, look to the sky.
Raise your eyes to the sky and observe.
And if you don't get that joke, just go sit in Dalaran for 5 minutes and ask it out every 5 minutes.
What about you, Greats?
I would echo what JB says and play a character per match for your first few matches and just learn that character really solidly. But then I would also say you're going to get just rolled the first time or two. I mean, if you're an experienced FPS player, this changes everything. You're going to be a little bit weird getting into it. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about your first few matches. This is not a game of statistics, kills, and deaths. This is a game of, do you win or do you lose the objective points? And I really like how Blizzard has centered it around that, because I can go into a match as a tank and die 15 times, but if my team wins, I'm quite happy.
Definitely good advice. I totally agree. And I will just add on top of that, Mercy is awesome and D.Va is absolutely great.
Oh, yes.
D.Va's awesome, dude.
Love D.Va.
She's OP because I'm good with her.
Does that mean they need to nerf D.Va?
I'm really good with D.Va, yeah.
You should take that to the forums, Martz. She's OP and broken because I can play her.
Well, dude, you know how bad I am with everyone else.
Martz's win-loss record's too high on D.Va, must nerf.
Oh, dude, I have at least a 75% kill ratio to death, so.
Oh, wow. Well, JB, everyone else, I really appreciate taking the time to be on the show this week. I think it's given people a bit of a taste of what the Overwatch Initiative is about, and I'll play a clip from one of your more recent episodes in just a second here. But JB, really quick, what's coming up for the show in the weeks between now and the return of the beta? Because I imagine you're going to have a little bit to talk about with, well, the beta's over, and then you have an episode or two, well, yep, beta's not back yet.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you bring that up. I've been thinking about that a lot. And so here's what we're doing with the show. Probably the week of Christmas, the week of New Year's, we're going to take the week off. And we are planning to return. We got an episode coming out next week. And then we'll return on the 7th. And what's going to happen at that point is we're going to start something that we did a long time ago in our podcasting network at MogNation.com. We did a 101 series in SWTOR. So what we're doing is bringing the 101 series to Overwatch. And so we're going to teach you, before you ever enter the game, we're going to help get you the one up on your other player. How do you effectively play a Bastion? How can you effectively hold a choke point? Just all these things that will really, really help you when you first enter the game. So that's coming up in January. We're going to be doing, we're going to be doing community weeks where it's just all about you guys, have guests on the show, emails, all the fun stuff. But, So yeah, that That's going to be starting June, not June, gosh, listen to me, January 7th. They'd be waiting, man. We're already playing.
Sounds good. Well, once again, I want to thank you for taking time to be on the show. And JB, before we go, if you could tell everyone where, when, and how they can become a part of the Overwatch Initiative experience.
Absolutely. So if you want to join up with us, come game with us. We would love to have you. You can join our community over at mog-nation.com. It's a community that's all about understanding real life comes first. If you've got to work, so be it. I joined in 2012, and it was the rest is history. They support you if you make content, if you do videos, podcasts. That's why I went there, is because I knew they would support me in podcasting. And now I'm head over director of creative over there, and it's just a wonderful time. So you can come join us there, mog-nation.com. Currently, we release bi-weekly. It's been a long-running joke in our show. We are going to go weekly at some point, probably closer to launch. But right now, we're going to stay bi-weekly. So you can follow us on Twitter at Toy Podcast, T-O-I Podcast.
All right. Well, once again, JB, Great Smarts, Jazzy, thank you all for being on the show this week. Have fun in the beta whenever it makes its return in January. And thank you for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having us, man.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
As you can tell, we are running a little bit long this week, so I'm going to skip putting in a clip from the show. Highly encourage you guys to check out their latest episode. It is pretty good. Right now, let's dive into some podcast news. There's a new show out there for fans of Blizzard games, and it's called Battle Chat. And you might recognize the host if you've been a longtime listener of Girls Gone WoW. Syl just started up the new show last week, and you can find out what Battle Chat is all about by listening to Episode 1 on iTunes, Stitcher, or at BattleChatShow.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter at BattleChatShow. That takes care of talking about something new, so why not follow it up with talking about something old? Well, that doesn't sound all that grand, unless you're talking about the Grand Old Podcast. This podcast, which provided a focus on the history of WoW podcasting, makes its return this week. Now, catching up with host Sayomar of Esper is as easy as 1-2-3, and you can listen to episode 123 live when it records Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time over at youtube.com/rivalcastmedia. If you miss it live, check out the show on your app of choice or at rivalcastmedia.com, and don't forget to follow at Grand Old Podcast on Twitter for future show updates. There are a couple of other podcasts that recently made a return that I want to bring up just in case they dropped off your playlist. First off, Looking for Roleplay is back from their fall hiatus. Episodes 53 and 54 have gone up since then, covering the crew's perspective on BlizzCon, Legion speculation, preparing for the end of Warlords in regards to roleplay, and what headcanon is and how it's used in roleplaying and creative writing. Catch up with Tarkanis, Dravy, and Terwinkle at lookingforroleplay.com. Another show that's back to casting is the Megan and Wardcraft show. Recently, they gave their thoughts on the early Legion Alpha from Megan's ancestral home. Can they stay on topic? Will they talk about Legion spoilers? Find out the answers to these questions and more on episode 15, available for free everywhere on the internets, but especially on the podcast section at d20crit.com. For you Hearthstone fans out there, episode 52 of The Golden Wisp features an interview with special guest streamer and Hearthstone caster Nathan Zamora, better known in the community as That's Admirable. Listen to this zero casting cost show at goldenwisp.posthaven.com and follow it on Twitter at GWPodcast. Speaking of Hearthstone, Autumn's Bane from the podcast known as A Worthy Opponent paid a visit to Ben and John on Azeroth Roundtable last week. Now folks, when I was in the live chat and I saw this, I totally thought this would be a Hearthstone-focused episode, and you might be surprised just how much it isn't. Listen to this World of Warcraft podcast at AzerothRoundtable.com. On episode 78 of Hot's Cast, Rill, Mike, and Kali talked about patch 15.2, Vultures, and Smurfs. What do Smurfs have to do with Heroes of the Storm, you ask? Well, you can find out how that all makes sense by smurfing the show at HotsCast.com. By the way, if you'd like some help on a specific hero, map, or game mechanic, Kali would like to create a tutorial for you. You can contact her on Twitter at NerdyChar, spelled N-E-R-D-I-C-H-A-R, and she'll get that content put up on her Twitch and YouTube channels. Of course, you can follow the entire show on Twitter at HotsCast. 'Twas the 12 days before Wintervale, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse, because all the owners had a bright paw. I can't take credit for that. That's straight out of the Frozen Nerds 12 Days of Wintervale giveaway, which is currently underway and continues until Christmas Day. Each day the show is giving away a Brightpot pet. You need to be following this Blizzard podcast on Twitter at Frozen Nerds, spelled FrozenErdz, that's one N and two Zs, and you'll want to check out FrozenNerds.com, spelled the same way, for complete details. I personally want to applaud the show for providing these prizes and at the same time donating over $100 to the Make-A-Wish Foundation by doing all of that. Episode 86 is available for download at FrozenNerds.com. Any mages out there? Well, Nick and Jack on Dalaran Brilliance are talking about the current state of talents for your class on the Legion Alpha. Congratulations to this mage podcast on reaching the 25-episode milestone. You can find the show at d20crit.com and follow it on Twitter at DalBrilliance. On episode 14 of the Battle Res Bears, Ursangus and Mudala respond to an email on the touchy situation involved with removing a member from your raid team. Get their bear perspective by adding them to your playlist or listening to the show directly at battleresbears.podbean.com. And finally, what's more important when it comes to Overwatch? The length of the shutdown for the beta, or the length of Jeff Kaplan's beard, which hasn't been trimmed since BlizzCon? The Zords tackle these tough questions and more as they discuss the current state of the game on episode 6 of The Cavalry. The Cavalry is not here, but it is on iTunes, Stitcher, and ZordNetwork.com. And that's your podcast news. I'll wrap up the show with some contest winners and a couple of shoutouts after this.
Ludra the Mage here.
And I'm Ben the Adequate Mage.
Ben, I don't care what you say, there is no way Blizzard is going to put a bunny inside a computer, inside WoW, which is already inside a computer!
But, okay, listen to this. So, Blizzard adds computers. I mean, they kind of already have them in Ulduar. Then you get sucked in, then bunnies.
I haven't even seen the movie and I know that's wrong, Ben. We aren't even going to start with how gosh darn no crazy that sounds. Anyway, if you want to celebrate our milestones, hear us talk about the alpha without giving away any details, which is really crazy, and in general trying to Franken-build teams and silliness, tune in to Ben's 50th episode of Battle Pets, episode number 76, It's Adequate!
But Aludra, I want a pet that will fight for the user, meaning me.
Like none of your other 700 pets do?
I think they're actually just using me for a place to crash. I mean, that's why I always see them at my garrison.
Trust me, Ben, at this point, no one wants to be in a garrison.
Well, it's almost time to call this show. Just a couple bits of business to take care of. First off, I want to thank all of you that sent in your suggestions for yearly maintenance. While most of the clips will be from my personal list of favorites, I felt it wouldn't be bad to add in a few of yours as well. It's funny because the first week I ran this contest, I got a number of tweets about it and just a couple of emails. So I mentioned on last week's episode, hey, you might want to enter via email to improve your chances. Of course, then everyone enters via email and ended up tripling the total Twitter entries. My bad. So, originally I was going to give away 4 Bright Paws, but decided in light of this, I'd add one more for email entries. It's all for a good cause anyhow, since it means Make-A-Wish gets $50 from me instead of $40 this year. So, without further ado, congrats to @Mockteld and @Timberlily, who had their names pulled from the Twitter entries, thanks to random.org. Meanwhile, emails from Darren C., Karen T., and Phaedra were pulled out of the virtual hat, so congrats to the three of you as well. I'll be in contact with all 5 of you later this week to give you your Brightpaw codes. Again, thanks to all of you that sent in your suggestions for yearly maintenance. I'll be taking all of those into account. A decent number of them actually already matched up with shows I plan to feature, but I will be using clips from at least 3 of your suggestions that weren't on my list as well. Also, really quick, there was a bit of StarCraft II news I failed to cover last week, and I wanted to give it just a little bit of time here. Now, if you were following StarCraft at BlizzCon, you might remember that they announced this whole Nova Covert Ops mission pack that was going to be released next year. Well, you can actually pre-purchase the Nova Covert Ops mission packs right now. It's going to be 9 missions, 3 missions per pack. Now, each pack by itself would normally be $7.49. but if you pre-purchase three altogether, you only pay $14.99 for it all. So basically, it's like buy two mission packs, get one mission pack free. In addition to that, you get a Nova Portrait and a Covert Ops Ghost Skin. So if you're interested in more story content for StarCraft II and you're a fan of Terran content and you're just a fan of Nova in general, and I mean really, who isn't? Go ahead and pre-purchase that. You can get more information on all of it over at the official site for StarCraft II. And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and get ready to go off the grid for a couple of days starting Wednesday night. So if you try to get a hold of me on Twitter, I'm not going to see it until I'm back from seeing Star Wars on Friday. I'm not even checking my email until I'm back from Star Wars on Friday. I am doing as little with the internet as possible until I see Star Wars on Friday. I'm sorry, it has to be done, folks. The Force is strong with this film, and I'll be damned if anyone spoils it for me. I'd like to give a shout-out to @JobandShams on Twitter and his Mythic Raid team known as Echo419 on the Kill Jaden Realm. Thank you very much for the Grove Warden mount and a shiny new heroic caster staff, and for letting me hurt your backs just a little bit as you carried me. I shamelessly admit I got carried, but hey, there are tons of people that are getting carried right now. I'd also like to give a big shout out to Zia from the Sundering podcast, who gave birth to a healthy 8-pound, 8-ounce baby boy. Congrats, Zia. Your life as you knew it is over. And of course, a shout out to all of you. Thanks as always for downloading and listening to the show this week. If you'd like to support what I'm doing here, you can go to patreon.com/realmpodcast. As always, feel free to leave your comments about the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or realm-maintenance.com, which is where to go to find things like the weekly podcast roundup, the podcast directory, or sign up for the RSS feed. Of course, if you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're just a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts for those games, send your emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter @RealmPodcast or follow myself @Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Next week, there won't be episode 174 of Realm Maintenance, but there will be a special holiday surprise waiting for you on this feed, and I hope you enjoy it. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been the presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2015, and is distributed by Signals Media. You can find this show and other great podcasts at signalsmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks again to the cast of the Overwatch Initiative for being on the show this week. Thanks to everyone in the community for the retweets and for getting the word out about this show. And thanks to you for listening. I have to do this. It's practically becoming a tradition. Happy Wintervale, folks.
Are you ready to finally hear this, John?
I'm very ready. So there's going to be a long delay as I listen to all of it, because okay, I don't want to miss it.
I won't jump back in until you say something.
Okay.
Mark Hunnan, are you ready for this?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and mute my mic because I'm pretty sure I'm going to laugh out loud. So without further ado, here we go.
Hey, guys, it's Ro. I just want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy Wintervale. And yeah, okay, who am I kidding? We need to talk. So earlier this week, I'm working on yearly maintenance and I get a knock on the door. I hear a whole bunch of noise outside. And these guys come in saying that you contacted them via email. I think it was John who contacted them. They said it was hard to understand them. The translation was kind of rough. But they said that they were contacted to do a song for my show. And I have no idea what they're talking about. But they said, you know, they were going to be paid 100 clams to do this. And I felt like I was between a rock and a hard place, so whatever. I let them come in and do this. So here's the Murloc chorus doing what you asked them to do. Merry Christmas. Oh,
sides hurt.
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna throw up. Bro.
Bro, that was incredible. Oh, we broke Ben. Ben's broken. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a thing. And it happened. If my cats were around, they would have scared them too, I promise.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh.
The amount of layers to that audio is incredible. Because I know that was all just Ro, which makes it that much more insane. Oh my god. That was amazing.
Thanks, Ro.
It's the thing that killed Ben.
Oh, God.
This podcast is a part of the Signals Media All-Star Network. For more information on this and other fine shows, go to signalsmedia.com. It's okay to stick our stuff in your ears. Really?